Nick Scrip on the P2W Fantasy Podcast, dropping to you guys today my 2023 rookie draft class top 12 for Superflex leagues. This past week in the P2W Fantasy Patreon, I released my 41-page 2023 class rookie draft guide. I thought it was a solid piece that gives you plenty of details, but also gets to the point to help you guys in your Dynasty Fantasy Football rookie drafts. There's so much more offered within that P2W Fantasy Patreon in the Discord there. There's content dropped on a consistent daily basis, again, with the intention to help you guys play to win. Patreon.com/P2W Fantasy. $5 a month is well worth it for everything that you are getting within that Patreon Discord. So today I have the top 12 for me from this rookie draft class for 2023. This is for super flex leagues, meaning that you can start two quarterbacks potentially in this league. And I had a podcast the other day where I was on a live stream and I went through my top 12, and I think I kind of jacked it up a little bit and missed one of my my tiers within here. So I wanted to make sure that I went through that for everybody to hear. Full details are within, again, that rookie draft guide that I created last week. Super proud about that, actually. So when it comes to rankings, I have them 1 through 12 for this type of league, but then in tiers. So the purpose of tiers is to say, hey, like, let's say there's three guys within a tier. I may have them ranked a specific way within that tier, but I'm telling you, if they are in the same tier, they have similar value. All right, so if I have player X and Y in tier two, I'm telling you that I have X above Y, but they should be similar valued, and kind of pick your poison. You take your pick within that tier. So we'll kick things off with the 101 in tier one by himself, Bijan Robinson, drafted number 8 to the Atlanta Falcons. So we're talking about a generational talent here. He averaged 157.83 yards per game through 12 games in 2022, which was outstanding. I mean, he has the DNA of an all-around running back, physical build. He's an inside-outside runner, fast feet, good footwork, receiving abilities, overall three-down qualities. NFL analyst Lance Zierlein comps Bijan Robinson to Josh Jacobs. PlayerProfiler.com comped him to Marshawn Lynch. But again, the numbers that he put up in that final season in 2022, extremely impressive. 1,580 rushing yards, 18 rushing touchdowns, 314 receiving yards. If we're looking at Atlanta, Arthur Smith, head coach, he enforces the run. It's evident through the Falcons this past season having the third most rushing yards. You know, Tyler Allgeier still exists in Atlanta. He ended up getting some decent work and volume towards the end of the season. He set the Falcons rookie rushing record that I'm sure Bijan Robinson is going to break. But we're talking about an 8th overall pick investment by Atlanta. Without touching the football, this is the running back one in dynasty for a lot of people. So across all formats, one of the best running back prospects we've seen since maybe Saquon Barkley back in 2018, Bijan Robinson by himself. The next two here in tier two, so Bijan Robinson by himself in tier one. In tier two, I have two quarterbacks. I have number one overall pick, Bryce Young, and then number four overall pick, Anthony Richardson. So when it comes to Bryce Young, 2021, 4,875 passing yards, 47 touchdowns, only 7 interceptions. That's a pretty good ratio there. 167.5 QB rating in 15 games. In 2022, he threw for 3,328 yards, 32 touchdowns to 5 interceptions, 163.2 QB rating. We're looking at some comps here. Again, Lance Zierlein, Drew Brees, player profiler, compares him to Johnny Manziel, which I've seen a couple of times. Extremely poised. He reads the field well, competent. He's accurate. He extends plays. He has the DNA of a franchise quarterback. He lands in Carolina, is the number one pick in this draft. They added Miles Sanders, Adam Thielen, DJ Shark, Hayden Hurst. They drafted Jonathan Mingo in the second round. There's no true alpha in this system. And, you know, they have a veteran quarterback in Andy Dalton that will be, you know, that to Bryce Young. But when we're looking at, you know, the investment being made here with the number one overall pick, We're looking at Carolina is kind of shaping and building their team. We're looking at a quarterback who's had a history of throwing for a lot of passing yards and very, very competent with his touchdown and interception ratio. I have him above Anthony Richardson as of today for Dynasty Superflex Leagues. And when we shift over to Anthony Richardson, who I have number three overall, but again in the same tier as Bryce Young, another great pick investment. Number four overall says a lot by the Colts. He ran a 4.43 40. He was regarded as having the most athletic quarterback combine ever. The passing numbers are not phenomenal when we're looking at what he did at Florida, but it's the rushing that we saw the upside with. 654 rushing yards and 9 touchdowns. That type of quarterback we know can translate well for fantasy purposes. Major physical traits, dual threat ability. He does have a good plus downfield arm. The potential's there to be, again, a very dynamic quarterback. Lance Zierlein comps him to Cam Newton. Player Profiler was kind of bold and said Josh Allen. We have Gardner Minshew there right now with the Colts. So does he create some sort of competition early on? Does Anthony Richardson have to learn a little bit? Does he come in day one? I will say when we look at the systems of Bryce Young and Anthony Richardson, the Colts to me is more appealing. You have Jonathan Taylor is the running back that's going to keep defenses honest. Wide receiver one is Michael Pittman Jr. Alec Pierce was a second round draft pick from the year prior. Josh Downs was selected in the third round this year. They brought in Isaiah McKenzie, who did some decent things in Buffalo last season. So the system's good. He, you know, Anthony Richardson has very, very good athletic traits, which can, again, translate well for fantasy. We're looking at guys like Jalen Hurts and Lamar Jackson and Justin Fields. Like, can Anthony Richardson be one of those guys? I think there is a good chance he is. I just lean Young because of the passing traits that we've seen for him as a quarterback. I think he can use his legs and extend some plays to a degree. The NFL told us that, hey, he is the number one pick and the number one quarterback. And I think for a lot of people, he was at the end of the day. Even the Texans passing on Richardson for Stroud doesn't say everything, but it says something. So, again, Young and Richardson in the same tier. Take your pick with how you view them. As of today, I have Young above Richardson. Then in tier three, I have three players. Jackson Smith and Jigba, Jahmyr Gibbs, and C.J. Stroud. This was very, very difficult for me to do because I can see the argument for all three of these guys to be number one in this tier. You know, JSN, Gibbs, and Stroud. I can see people saying for Stroud that I have number three in this tier. This is a franchise quarterback in a super flex league. That means a lot, right? For Jahmyr Gibbs, big investment. Should get a lot of volume in a good Detroit offense. JSN, we, you know, regarded him as the wide receiver one in this class, and everybody loved the talent. Do we overplay where he landed? So for me, I think there's a bigger chance that JSN and Gibbs have more of an impact in fantasy for their specific positions. JSN a wide receiver and Gibbs a running back than Stroud does for the quarterback position. We do know that quarterbacks are very valuable in super flex leagues, but I just have a feeling that JSN and Gibbs are going to weigh heavier for their specific positions than Stroud does. But I could be completely wrong there. And again, I'm saying I have these guys very similar valued. So if you said, hey, it needs to be Gibbs again, you know, over JSN, that's fine. They're in the same tier for me, this tier three. So JSN, first wide receiver off the board at pick 20 to Seattle. No surprise with him being number one. I think it was a little surprising that he went at pick 20, not earlier, but all of the attention was drawn to him in 2021 after catching 95 balls for 1,606 receiving yards and 9 touchdowns, which was an average of 123.54 yards per game on an Ohio State roster that featured first rounders Garrett Wilson and Chris Olave. And maybe those two guys didn't play the entire season, but they still were there, and JSN was the man this year. Only 3 appearances due to injury in 2022, so there was hype that kind of dwindled down a little bit when it comes to JSN, but he absolutely smoked the three cone drill, the 20-yard shuttle, and just really looked the part as the wide receiver one in this class. Slot wide receiver that can make plays all over the field. Great agility, excellent ball tracking. He just has the makeup of a major dynasty asset for the wide receiver position. At first glance, you're looking at Seattle and saying, hey, he's got to compete with DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett. It seemed less than ideal, but I think Geno Smith's 2022 season is very encouraging with him, you know, doing very well for the position, finishing top 10 in passing attempts, red zone attempts, passing yards, yards per attempt, passing touchdowns, and QBR. I mean, this is a competent quarterback who just got paid the bag because he had such a good season. And you have an incoming, you know, guy that's agile, good at getting open across the middle of the field with DK and Lockett drawing attention on the outside. I do think it is very appealing for JSN at the end of the day, even though he will have some target competition. So don't fade because you think that he has to, you know, he has this major, you know, competition with DK and Lockett. I'm into this, actually. I think that the three of them are going to kind of draw enough attention individually that the other two guys are going to get some open looks on a week-to-week basis when it comes to Seattle. And I do like Geno Smith and his ability that he's shown to just do his job, right? Not have to win the games himself, but just put the ball in these guys' hands. So JSN, very impactful wide receiver. And I wouldn't be surprised at the end of the day if he is the number one targeted wide receiver in Seattle. Then we go to Gibbs. So Jahmyr Gibbs, I was shocked by the draft capital, just in all complete honesty, being the number 12th pick by Detroit. And at first, you're like, hey, they got David Montgomery, DeAndre Swift. To me, Jahmyr Gibbs and DeAndre Swift are very similar players. And then DeAndre Swift ends up getting traded to Philly. But 4.36 speed through two seasons at Georgia Tech and one at Alabama. The standout statistic is the 103 total receptions for 1,212 receiving yards. So this is a true receiving back. In 2022, Gibbs rushed for 926 yards and scored 10 total touchdowns. Dual threat, versatile running back, speed and acceleration qualities, route running abilities, elusive with the ball in his hands, comped by NFL analyst Lance Zierlein to Alvin Kamara. And I think that's what everybody really wants out of Jahmyr Gibbs, is to be like this next Alvin Kamara. I think you look at David Montgomery, and he's done some very nice things in his career and been a guy that's gotten a lot of volume. But when you invest a 12th overall pick in a guy like Jahmyr Gibbs, I think you are just saying like, hey, we do have David Montgomery, who we brought in for a couple years, but this is our guy. This is our guy at the end of the day. So I can see Monty getting some early down work along with maybe some goal line work, but Gibbs consuming the pass catching and higher total touches. This Detroit offense was solid last season with Jared Goff having a standout year, which I think is another good point to say here that, hey, you know, this offense was good last season. They continue to move forward. Even with the outlook not looking like Gibbs is going to be this workhorse, I think the draft capital plus the versatility should mean him being a very valuable asset, especially in PPR leagues with the pass catching ability. And then third in this tier, so I have him 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 overall, and I do feel uncomfortable saying that just because CJ Stroud, I think, could end up being a long-term dynasty super flex big asset because he should be the franchise guy for the Texans. Second overall pick, 4,435 passing yards, 44 touchdowns, and 6 interceptions. In 2021, in 12 games, in 2022, 3,688 yards, 41 touchdowns, and 6 interceptions. So back-to-back seasons in college at Ohio State, having over 40 touchdowns and having a small amount of turnovers. Accuracy, ball placement, arm strength, and a resume of passing touchdowns. There was comps by Zierlein to Jared Goff. Player Profiler was, again, kind of bold and went with Joe Burrow. He's coming into Houston, pushing Davis Mills out of the quarterback role. There's some veterans there with Robert Woods and Dalton Schultz. They brought in Devin Singletary on top of Damian Pierce. And then for the wide receivers, you got some younger guys that have a lot of potential. We just have to see who truly steps up between Nico Collins and John Metchie. They brought in Tank Dell, who I guess has a good connection with CJ Stroud. So the situation is similar to Young's to a degree in the sense that there is no true alpha. But here, you know, I like this kind of mixture of, hey, we got Robert Woods and Dalton Schultz who have a resume on them and could be reliable. But we also got a couple young guys that have some potential. So CJ Stroud should be the franchise guy for the Houston Texans, which for Superflex leagues means a lot. But I have him in that tier three. Tier four, I have two guys, two wide receivers. I have Jordan Addison and Quentin Johnston. So I have Addison above Johnston, which might be debated by some people, but Jordan Addison before the draft was my wide receiver too. Similar to JSN, he had a huge, huge 2021 season. He caught 100 passes for 1,593 receiving yards and 17 receiving touchdowns, which resulted in him winning that Biletnikoff Award, which is given to the nation's best receiver. In 2022, that was at Pitt, actually. So he actually ended up transferring to USC. He did regress a bit. He didn't have as impactful of a season that he did in 2021, but he did finish with 875 receiving yards and 8 touchdowns. Effective receiver at all three levels. He has plus route running, run after the catch ability, and upside there. And he has a major, major college season under his belt. Zuerlein comps him to Tyler Lockett, player profiler to Deontay Johnson. We look at Minnesota. Adam Thielen departs, leaving the wide receiver two role behind Justin Jefferson for Addison. Thielen was targeted 6.3 times per game in 2022. We know Justin Jefferson will be one of the, if not the most targeted players in the NFL yearly. TJ Hockenson came in and commanded very consistent targets as well. But Kirk Cousins had a career season in passing attempts this past year, 643. That's encouraging to me. With the amount of attention that Justin Jefferson also demands on himself, I think that it will also help Jordan Addison, you know, find spaces on the field that frees him up and creates plays for him. So first round draft capital, immediate wide receiver two role with Kirk Cousins having, again, a career year in passing attempts is something I like a lot for Jordan Addison. After him, I have Quentin Johnston, who was drafted by the Chargers. Johnston had a good year at TCU that drew some attention because they ended up going to the national championship. He was a big piece of that. 60 catches for 1,069 receiving yards and 6 touchdowns. He averaged 19 yards per reception through his career in college. He impressed at the combine when we looked at the vertical jump and the broad jump. He's 6'3", 208, so he's got some good size to him, you know, plus size, downfield threat, big catch radius, and a string of high receiving yard games. That's what drew attention to Quentin Johnston. The comp for Zuerlein was Alshon Jeffrey. So looking at, you know, L.A., we see Keenan Allen, Mike Williams, Gerald Everett, Joshua Palmer's there, and, of course, Austin Eckler. That's a lot of target competition. I will say, though, there's some positives that we take from this for dynasty purposes. Justin Herbert has thrown 699 in 2022 and 672 times in 2021 the last two seasons, which in each of those seasons was the second most. So he's throwing the ball at an extremely high rate. Keenan Allen is 31, Mike Williams is 28, and Austin Eckler is 27. So those three guys get plenty of work, command a lot of targets, but they're also all aging veterans. So hypothetically, if everybody's good and healthy and have their roles that we expect in 2023, we can at least say, hey, Johnston is attached to Justin Herbert, who is 25 years old in himself, for the long run. So as these guys age out, Quentin Johnston might, you know, over time, and that's kind of the expectation here for a guy that was drafted in the first round, and being this you know, downfield threat tied to Justin Herbert, that's a lot of upside, and he eventually could be Justin Herbert's go-to guy, which for fantasy could be huge. Just we're not sure if it's going to happen right away or if it's going to happen over time just because of the older veteran guys in this system. So again, Addison and Johnston in that tier. So leading up to this, Bijan tier one, tier two is, Young and Richardson. Tier 3 is JSN, Gibbs, and Shroud. And then Tier 4, Addison and Johnston. So Tier 5, maybe I'm not going to say it's controversial, but I have Dalton Kincaid, the tight end 1 drafted in this class, and then Zay Flowers. So I have Dalton Kincaid very high. I mean, he drew first-round draft capital to Buffalo, the first tight end off the board. Through 13 games in 2021, Kincaid finished with 36 catches for 510 receiving yards and 8 touchdowns. And then in 2022, he took a big jump forward. He played in less games, but he had 70 catches for 890 receiving yards and 8 touchdowns. So this is a true pass-catching tight end who has impressive route running, ball skills, and can be a 50-50 ball winner. Lance Zierlein gave him a bold comparison to Zach Ertz, which we know is a tight end that's had plenty of fantasy success through time. So looking in Buffalo, you know, at Buffalo, Josh Allen passed the ball 37.9 times per game in 2021. So it kind of shrank a little bit in 2022, but if he can get back to those sort of numbers, we'd love that because Buffalo is such a great offense. Josh Allen is one of the best passing quarterbacks in the league. He's had 35-plus touchdowns for 3 straight seasons. Dawson Knox has commanded the tight end 1 role, and whether that happens day one or progressively through 2023, Kincaid is going to take over that role. Dawson Knox might still be on the field as a blocker, maybe a red zone threat, but in a system where Stephon Diggs is the only person we have a clear idea of when it comes to where those targets are going to go, I think Dalton Kincaid has such a huge opportunity here. Gabriel Davis, to me, was unimpressive in 2022. I think he's still going to be very involved in this offense for sure. Khalil Shakir, Deontay Hardy, you know, just guys that might get involved here. But when we look at Dalton Kincaid, I think what stands out to me is that, again, number one, high draft capital to one of the best offenses in the league with Buffalo. Number two, pass catching traits, and now he has the opportunity maybe to be the second most targeted player in this Buffalo offense. So for me, the impact that he will have on the tight end landscape is very, very high when it comes to fantasy football, because we know that the tight end landscape for fantasy is rough, right? There's not a lot of guys that are super impactful on your weekly rosters. But let's say we got a highly targeted tight end attached to Josh Allen. That, to me, has huge dynasty fantasy football implications. Then the other guy in this tier, Zay Flowers, gets drafted to Baltimore at pick 22 out of Boston College. 3,056 total receiving yards at Boston College. He had 1,077 in 2022 with 12 touchdowns on the year. On top of that, he's had some rushing numbers. I think most of that came early on in his college career, but 4.42 speed, high acceleration, athletic movements. He tracks the deep ball well. He's a playmaker. I think he's a wide receiver that many viewed as being very dynamic with the way that he could be used. Travis Benjamin comps, Jahan Dotson comps. Lamar Jackson being back in Baltimore, I think, is a great sign for all the playmakers in this system. Flowers will have to compete with, obviously, Mark Andrews, who has been the number one target, basically, in that offense with Lamar Jackson at least the last 2 seasons, Rashad Bateman, and also Odell Beckham Jr. So, obviously, with changes in Baltimore when it comes to targets, we're thinking, hey, you know, Bateman has the potential to break out. Andrews is going to get his, but Zay Flowers, first-round investment, I think that says a lot. So I think that we've seen in the past, it's a different coaching staff, but we've seen in the past that Devin Duvernay was used pretty creatively, you know, ran the ball a little bit, had some sweeps or some screen plays. I think those sort of plays in the playbook will be more Zay Flowers focused. So that to me can bring some good fantasy potential to Zay, who I like attached to Lamar Jackson. In my last tier here, picks 11 and 12, so number 11 overall, number 12 overall, I have Michael Mayer and then Will Levis. So Michael Mayer was my tight end 1 out of Notre Dame in this draft class prior to the NFL draft. He slipped a bit. I thought he for sure was going to be a first-round selection, but he ended up being picked in the second round. big guy, 6'4", 249. Across 21-22, those two different seasons, he had 71 and then 67 receptions. Then he had 840 and 809 receiving yards, 7 and 9 touchdowns. So he's got a good receiving resume to him for from back-to-back seasons at Notre Dame. The run blocking's there, combination of size, pass-catching abilities. For a lot of people, he was the tight end one. I think he dropped off a little bit as we got closer to the draft. A good comp that I've seen, again, I'm referencing Lance Zierlein a bunch in here, but he said Jason Witten, and that's what they said on the NFL draft day when I was watching it, that was a pretty fair comp. So Las Vegas, they trade away Darren Waller, so that vacancy opened up, but they did bring in Austin Hooper. But Hooper's declined since his Atlanta days. He went to Cleveland. It was really bad there. He went to Tennessee. He wasn't anything special there. So he's been on the decline. So he's a good veteran presence, but I think this is really the role that Michael Mayer can step in and be that tight end one for the Raiders, filling in for Darren Waller. And if we look, I mean, who's the quarterback? It's Jimmy Garoppolo. And who has he had a good connection with back in San Fran? It was George Kittle. So I think even though Davante Adams is there and Jacoby Myers was brought in, Hunter Renfro is there, guys that will get work. Obviously, Davante Adams is going to get very, very high work. I think there's a good chance that if Michael Mayer beats out Austin Hooper and is on the field a lot, that he can be Jimmy G's new George Kittle without being extremely comparative and saying it's going to be exactly alike. But I do think that, again, Michael Mayer can be a guy, just like I said with Kincaid, who can step in. Maybe doesn't have the same, you know, quarterback upside that Kincaid does or as good of a system. But I will say Michael Mayer, I think, has the opportunity to come in and have a true fantasy impact on the tight end landscape, which, again, is why I have him at number 11 and feel like he can be a valuable pick, because outside of the top like 5-6 guys for the tight end position, we're really looking for somebody to have an impact on our weekly lineups first, just somebody that's going to get us, you know, give us 8-9 points. So Michael Mayer at number 11, and then at number 12, I'll go with Will Levis, who had all these rumors coming in that he was going to be drafted super high, but then he didn't. He went at pick 33 in the second round to Tennessee, which I think is a pretty decent landing spot. Levis, 2,826 and 2,406 passing yards his final two seasons, 24-19 touchdowns, 13-10 interceptions. So not as good of a touchdown to interception ratio as like Young and Stroud did. Prototype QB size, though. He's got a plus arm. He's got toughness to him. Some comps to Jay Cutler. He's 6'4", 229. Tennessee, Ryan Tannehill's there, but he's on his final year of his contract. I don't think he's part of their future. I think Tennessee has also like kind of been pushing towards having a younger roster. They brought in an offensive lineman in the first round, which is a good plus there. But he can take over that QB1 role that, you know, some people want Malik Willis to take over one day. I think that this Will Levis draft pick pretty much said that Malik Willis is not in their future plans. Derrick Henry in the backfield, along with 2022 rookies Treylon Burks and Chig Okonkwo, stand out for Tennessee. And when we are in these super flex leagues, having a starting quarterback is huge, because it's hard to trade for quarterbacks in super flex leagues because they have higher values there. So that'll do it for the top 12. So again, tier 1, Bijan; tier 2, Young and Richardson; tier 3, JSN, Gibbs and Stroud; tier 4, Addison and Johnston; tier 5, Kincaid and Flowers; and then tier 6, Mayer and Levis. Those are my, as of today, top 12 rankings from this 2023 draft class for super flex leagues. I'll be updating that throughout the offseason as we get more information, and also within that draft guide that I plan on updating at least once a week. So again, check out the P2W Fantasy Patreon. I think it's well worth your $5 subscription, especially if you like my content and the amount of stuff and the quality of stuff that I put out on a weekly basis. So thanks for checking this one out, guys, and good luck in your upcoming rookie drafts.